The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," and he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," and he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, they were unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. This is the gospel of our Lord. Read Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many of you who are members of this congregation were either born to Lutheran parents or married a Lutheran spouse. Although you always had a right to choose another church, your decision to stay Lutheran was influenced to a great degree by family. And there's nothing wrong with that. Most people in history have retained the religious faith of their ancestors. On my mom's side of the family, we were Lutherans going back to the 16th century in Sweden and in Germany. If you were not influenced by family and were deciding which church to join, one of the attributes of the Lutheran Church that might appeal to you is the fact that it does not favor blue laws and does not impose man-made rules and regulations on its members. Blue laws, known also as Sunday laws, are civil laws designed to restrict or ban some or all Sunday activities. They originated, at least in the English-speaking world, in New England in the 17th century, and were based on the religious doctrine of the Puritans known as Sabbatarianism. You may not realize it because you live in California, but blue laws are still in effect today in many states in the United States. Many states prohibit selling alcoholic beverage on Sundays at a particular time. Some states restrict the purchase of particular items on Sunday, such as cars, groceries, office supplies, housewares. Some states prohibit hunting in various degrees on Sunday. Blue laws may also prohibit retail activity on days other than Sunday. For example, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Maine currently prohibit most retail stores, including grocery stores, from opening at any time of day on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And these are based, at least originally, on religious laws. The Roman Catholic Church is probably the most well-known example of a church in the United States that imposes rules and regulations on its members. Fasting and contraception are the most well-known of those regulations. Contraception and birth control are not permitted in the Catholic Church, although natural family planning methods are permitted to provide healthy spacing between births or to postpone children for a just reason. Now, ladies, you should think about what that rule means for Catholic women who want to be faithful to their church's laws. Fasting and abstinence from certain foods or drinks is understood by Catholics to be a form of penance for sins. At least that's what they are taught. Among the U.S. Catholics, there are two obligatory days of fast, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. The Fridays of Lent are days of abstinence. That is, eating meat is not allowed at all on those days. In addition, since 1966, the Roman Church has urged voluntary fasting during Lent and voluntary abstinence on the other Fridays of the year. Prior to 1966, fasting and abstinence were more strictly regulated with many more rules. Roman Catholics must also observe the Eucharistic fast, which involves taking nothing but water and medicines into the body for 1 hour before receiving the Eucharist. Now, why do Lutherans not follow the rules and regulations of the Puritans or the Roman Catholics? It is because we Lutherans have traditionally been careful to neither add to nor delete from the moral and legal code of the Scriptures. Our gospel lesson today is one of the most important Bible passages that teach this principle. In particular, the Lutherans have quoted verses 7 and 8 in our text. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And then there's verse 13, making void the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. Although Jesus used these statements to criticize the Jewish scribes and Pharisees, Lutherans have used the same statements to criticize the Catholic Church and others. These verses in our text, especially verses 7, 8, and 13, are among the bases of the Lutheran principle of sola scriptura, that doctrines, church practices, and morals shall be established only on the Scriptures. An accompanying Lutheran principle is that the words of Jesus and the New Testament interpret and govern the Old Testament in the matters of the law. At the time of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church defended its non-biblical doctrines and practice on the basis of the traditions of the Church. The Lutherans pointed out these were traditions of men. The Lutherans and other Protestants based their theology and ethics on the Bible alone at that time, while the Catholics based their theology on the Bible plus their traditions. Today, due to the doctrine of papal infallibility, Catholics may also appeal to the Pope's authority ex cathedra. In other words, they believe that when the Pope speaks officially in matters of doctrine or morals, it is considered to be divine revelation, even if it cannot be found in Scripture or tradition. Therefore, it's an important point to understand what's happening with this new Pope. Papal interviews with the media do not count as ex cathedra statements for the Roman Church, but the media will never tell you that. They want the Pope to say what they want. The current Pope has taken advantage of this distinction by saying all sorts of things that seem to harmonize with modern morality and ethics. But unless he has said these things ex cathedra, they are just his opinion. And the Church knows that. And it's not the official position of his Church. Now, with regard to the observance of the Sabbath, because that was in debate at the time of Jesus, between him and the Pharisees, our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod stated its own position in its 1932 brief statement, which says, quote, "We teach that in the New Testament, God has abrogated the Sabbath and all the holy days prescribed for the Church of the Old Covenant, so that neither the keeping of the Sabbath nor any other day, nor the observance of at least one specific day of the 7 days of the week is ordained and commanded by God." Here it points to Colossians 2:16 and Romans 14:5. Continue. "The observance of Sunday and other church festivals is an ordinance of the Church, made by virtue of Christian liberty. Hence, Christians should not regard such ordinances as ordained by God and binding upon the conscience." Again, Colossians 2:16 and then Galatians 4:10. "However, for the sake of Christian love and peace, they should willingly observe them. Romans 14:13, 1 Corinthians 14:40. End of quote. Now, this was stated at that time specifically against the Sabbatarian doctrine of the Lutheran Church known as the Iowa Synod. That synod merged into the American Lutheran Church in the 1930s, and at that point then, its Sabbatarian doctrine was abandoned and forgotten. Most Iowa Synod descendants today would have no idea that was ever taught and enforced. In some of the Lutheran churches of the 21st century, you will find that not only are the traditions of men rejected, but also the explicit and clear teachings are abandoned and forgotten. This is a whole new thing in the history of the church. The most obvious example of this is the new sexuality doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, also known as the ELCA. In 2009, the ELCA adopted resolutions which allowed congregations to recognize, support, and hold publicly accountable lifelong monogamous same-gender relationships. That's a quote from their document. And then to let such gay and lesbian people to serve as pastors and church workers. And then more recently, in 2011, the ELCA adopted an anti-bullying resolution which was intended to quash all opposition in the ELCA to gay and lesbian relationships. Now, the position of the ELCA is, of course, directly contrary to the New Testament teaching, which is found clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 and many other places in the scriptures. I conclude with three quotes. First, from the Lutheran Confession, known as the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, which states, I quote, "Neither Peter nor the other ministers should assume lordship or authority over the church, nor burden the church with traditions, nor let anyone's authority count for more than the Word of God." That's Treatise Article 11. Second, from another Lutheran confession, the small cult articles, which states, "The Word of God shall establish articles of faith and no one else, not even an angel," end of quote. And then third, Galatians 5, verse 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." May you always resist the temptation to either add to or subtract from our Lord's word, and to appear more pious or holy through non-scriptural rules and regulations. In our Savior's name, amen.